Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Hello everyone, hello Man United fans around the world. Welcome to the Squawker Talker, streaming live on Facebook Live. Hello everyone, we're all waving to the camera that's in the corner. Otherwise you're listening to this via iTunes or on our Twitter. My name's Nick English, I'm joined today by Greg Johnson, features editor. Hello Greg.
Hello Nick, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
We're doing that thing again where we say hello and how are you?
That thing where we're being way too polite. I'm also joined by chief reporter Greg Stobart. Hi Greg.
Hello Nick.
How are you doing? For the purposes of this podcast, we're going to call you Stobes.
Stobes is fine,
fantastic. Also joining us is the world famous Squawker Dave.
Give it a rest, Nick.
Give it a rest. That's not very polite of you.
Hello, mate. How are you?
You're going to ask me how I am. That's very good. So, first of all, we need to talk a bit about the Crystal Palace game yesterday. Greg, could it be any more routine?
Although it was strange. It's almost like Crystal Palace kind of didn't turn up to a large extent. If it wasn't for Julian Speroni, United would have won 5-0 without actually playing that well, really. Mm. I mean, Rashford could have got a couple. Martial looked quite threatening. But I wouldn't say it was like an incredible performance by Man United. It was quite routine, and we probably should have won by a few more goals, despite not really, you know, putting on much of a show, really.
Dave, it felt a bit like facing a team that's got an FA Cup semi-final coming up soon, didn't it? I mean, you must have been happy the Van Gaal used the 4-1-4-1. You've been calling for it all season.
Yeah, I think it's a big thing we've seen with Man United, that playing two holders in this side is absolutely useless. I think that you don't have enough in midfield, and then also the fullbacks. They go forward, and then you've got that kind of issue of who's sitting, who's holding between the two holders. And then we've seen at times where they've both pressed and they shouldn't have pressed. They're both sitting and they're two sitting. So playing with one holder really for Manchester United this season is absolutely perfect. Every time they've played that, they've seemed to have won the games. You know, it frees up the fullbacks. That's the big thing. You know, Morgan Schneiderlin dropping between the centre-backs or just holding that space in front of the back four allows the fullbacks to attack. And we saw yesterday an absolute masterclass by Matteo Darmian and Antonio Valencia.
A masterclass.
I'd say it was a fullback masterclass in terms of getting forward, in terms of being in the right place at the right time. Darmian obviously got the cross for the first goal and then scored the second. Defensively, was absolutely brilliant. 12 tackles, winning 5 of them against Wilfred Zaha. That's been quite tricky this season, but seems to beat his man, then trick himself again, which is quite confusing of what he's doing. His decision-making still isn't quite there, but Darmian was brilliant. And then Valencia, absolute and sensational performance going forward. Play that through ball to Rashford. Probably should have scored, like Greg mentioned before. There were two big chances where Rashford potentially, on another day, would have got 2 goals, but United were brilliant.
I mean, you can only beat what you're up against, but United weren't up against much. So, I mean, I kind of feel that's a bit hyperbolic to be saying sensational and things like that. I mean, Darmian had his best performance in United shirt for months, but he's been so bad that also isn't saying that much. So, I mean, I think we've got to temper it. It was a good professional job, but United didn't really get a second gear. Crystal Palace didn't really turn up, apart from, I'd say, Zaha had his moments at times. And Speroni obviously was incredible, but yeah, I don't know. I don't think you can read too much into it, to be honest.
13 shots on target for United, for the Red Devils. Third most of the season in the Premier League. How did Rooney fare in a deeper role for you, Greg?
All right, but he didn't really do that much defensively, mainly because he didn't have to, because Crystal Palace was just very poor. I think Kabaye almost did what Schneiderlin did for United, in that he was just racing around doing everything, while Jednak was... He did some nice passes to Zaha, but Rooney wasn't really tested in terms of actually playing a proper midfield general role. He did some nice passes. He got 91% of his passes on target. He created a chance as well. He got a shot on target as well, but he did a fair bit going forward. But he didn't have to do that much going back.
Top four, Dave? United?
It's going to be difficult. I think that's the thing with... It's a massive game for Arsenal on Thursday evening. It's going to be big. If they lose that, then the pressure will be on them. I feel with Manchester United, they've just been stumbling through this. Those 6 consecutive wins at Old Trafford, keeping 5 clean sheets. One of those things where they're just sort of trundling along unnoticed, and then bang, this could be the moment where they could sting. You know, big game for City at the weekend as well against Stoke, and they're playing at 12:45. Obviously, they're going to be thinking about the Champions League clash soon that's coming up. So players are going to potentially be playing at a lesser rate than usual.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's going to be interesting. If Yaya Toure plays in central midfield, That's excellent.
It's the Mark Hughes derby as well, so a lot of emotion on display for both teams. That's
a hell of a lot of emotion. let's move on to what everyone's talking about, and what actually people have already been asking about on our Facebook Live is, and we're going to get Greg to talk about this, Stobes even, Jose Mourinho to Manchester United. Stobes, what's going on? There's been rumours flying everywhere about PSG, about him not coming in, about Giggs going to Celtic. What's happening? Is it just confusing out there? Have you got any info for us?
It completely depends who you speak to, Nick, and that's okay. kind of
But you only speak to the right people.
Well, I think I do, but honestly, it's so confusing. What we do know is that Mourinho is absolutely desperate for the United job.
All right.
He wants it. He's telling people he thinks he's going to get it. Ed Woodward, United's executive vice chairman, has been talking to George Mendes, his agent. We know that. But that doesn't mean he's been offered a contract, because he hasn't. He hasn't been offered the job yet. And you speak to people at United, senior people, and they say that even Sir Alex Ferguson has no idea exactly what's going to happen. You look at United's performances this season, they're probably not going to get in the top four. And you think, with the chance to get Mourinho, they'll do it. But the only people who really know are the Glazer family and Ed Woodward, which makes it really confusing, because the Mourinho's camp are desperately pushing for the United job, and that's why those PSG rumours came out this week.
Interesting. And what about Ryan Giggs' situation? I mean, there were rumours this week, obviously, after that incredible Scottish Cup game, Ronnie Delia's left Celtic. There's rumours linking Giggs to the Celtic job. I mean, is Giggs pushing for a managerial job anywhere? Is he happy at United? Do we know anything about that?
I have no idea about the Celtic job, but I think Giggs has made it pretty clear to his friends, and we know who his friends are. He's made it pretty clear that he feels he's ready for a managerial job. He thought after Van Gaal that would be his opportunity. The problem for a lot of United supporters, I think, would be he's tainted by association with Moyes and now Van Gaal. So he might have to move on if he wants to go straight into management this summer. Really difficult one for Giggs, but
I mean, I think, speaking as a United fan, I'm not sure I'd say he's tainted by association. I'd say for me, he's tainted by a lack of experience. Like, people have tried to say, like, in the same way that Sherwood was at Spurs for a little bit, like, Giggs could be our Guardiola. But if you look at what Guardiola did before...
Did anybody say that about Tim Sherwood?
On Twitter they did. And there's always someone on Twitter saying something that's quite useful for these kind of monologues. But anyway, I mean, I think Giggs needs to go out there, see the big white world, and kind of expand his mind a bit, rather than just kind of be this kind of incestuous appointment of just regurgitating the same stuff at United. That's just...
It's all he's ever known, United, as well, isn't it? And I think the Giggs situation does show you the politics at United now. When Fergie was there, he ruled the roost and everyone knew where they stood. But now there's this sort of power vacuum, and there's a Ferguson clan, there's a Class of 92 clan, there's the commercial clan, there are all these people kind of fighting for power, fighting for authority, and ultimately it's the Glazers and Ed Woodward who have got it at the moment, but it's making it really messy, and that's why there's so much briefing coming from different camps.
Dave, it's a bit of a mess at United at the moment, of like from the top down, isn't it? It's not how the club should be run, is it?
Not at all. I think the problem is that Alex Ferguson was the manager, but he took the managerial job as a director of football and coach, head of everything, and I think that's the problem. United haven't reacted to that at all. They still haven't got a director of football. Nicky Butt was, you know, he's finally come in as head of the academy, but how late's that? Again, Nicky Butt, questionable under 18 side in the youth league that had players like Marcus Rashford, didn't even get out of the group. There's questions there about his CV as well, but it's going to be interesting to see whether Mourinho comes and whether they do. You know, Manchester United have been linked with the Atletico Madrid director of football right now. He's brought a number of
incredible transfers.
Stars that are going to become world-class. You know, you look at Angel Carrera, who scored again this weekend, an Argentinian player that had to go out with heart surgery, but when he's been back and he's looked really, really good. So it's positive there. You look at Jose Jimenez as well, the young Uruguayan centre-half. He was brought to the club by the same fella. So it's going to be good this summer. It could be good for Manchester United if they do the right things, but they need to, because there's been, 3 years where they haven't.
We're always taking your questions on the Squawker Talker, and we are taking your questions on Facebook Live. I keep pointing at it. It doesn't make it any better.
Not just yet.
We will have a specific Facebook Live section, so keep the questions coming in. We've had a question on Twitter, though. At GazToPut asked the pod, should it be either Jose or no one else for Man United? As in, they shouldn't gamble on anyone. They should keep LVG if they can't get Jose. Greg Stobes is shaking his head. You don't agree with that?
I think Pochettino would be absolutely perfect for Manchester United.
That's a great shout.
You're a Spurs fan, so that's a big thing to say.
Could they get Pochettino?
I don't think so. I think he, at the moment, why would you leave Tottenham for Manchester United? You never would have thought you would say that in the past, but he's building something special at Tottenham at the moment. Looks like he's close to agreeing a new contract. But in terms of United's philosophy, he doesn't need to spend money. He likes to bring through young players. He plays brilliantly exciting football, pushing the fullbacks up. I think he'd be absolutely perfect one day for Manchester United, but he's never won anything yet. So
I think
we're at a stage now where United need a sure thing, and Mourinho is about as close as you can get now.
Well, speaking of sure things, they've got a cup semi-final coming up. They're actually going to equal the record for the most FA Cup semi-finals. That's 28. And it represents a real chance of getting the first major trophy since Fergie left, Greg. Mm. How big is this game for Manchester United?
It's big, but I don't know if you agree with this, Dave, but it's a strange time to kind of feel anything for United at the moment. We kind of feel like a club in limbo because there's so much confusion about what's going to happen in the near future. And there's even some members of the fan base that kind of don't want United to succeed with Van Gaal at the helm in case it leads to him staying on in the near to long term future. I mean, I'm not of that opinion. I would like to see United lift the FA Cup, obviously. I'm also not 100% against Van Gaal. He can't stay. His position is untenable. But at the same time, I appreciate what he has done. And it would be nice for him to cap off his time in England with an FA Cup before going to retire to a director of football.
It'd be a nice way to end his career, really.
It would.
Dave, it's big games. Cup semi-final.
Massive. I'm well excited.
Yeah.
I was lucky enough to go to Wembley today with FA TV to do some YouTube stuff with them, which was pretty fun. But I got excited. I got off the tube and I thought, oh, this is pretty exciting. The only other times I've been to Wembley was the David Moyes trophy. The charity shield, which is a great day.
He dedicated that to Alex Ferguson.
3-1 victory, you know, a big game. The start of a new era, obviously, wasn't. And then the Champions League final, where I was struggling to find a ticket with quite a lot of money in my pocket, but didn't get one in the end. So it was quite exciting. I quite like Wembley. I think it's an exciting thing. I was lucky enough, went to West Ham away in the quarterfinal last week, which was a brilliant game of football all round. You know, Rashford scored that goal. It was unbelievable. Marouane Fellaini played very well. So for me, I'm quite excited. United haven't seen this sort of silverware in, 3 years, which is obviously for a United fan is
very
a bit weird.
Long time.
But, you know, it's swings and roundabouts with football. You're going to have the greatest manager of all time for 20 years. You've got to expect to be rubbish for a bit.
Looking at Everton's performance against Liverpool last night, I mean, obviously Funes Mori is going to see quite a lengthy ban for that horrific stamp on Divock Origi. If you haven't seen it, go find a video. I mean, he starts badge slapping afterwards. It's pretty terrifying. No team has lost more FA Cup semi-finals than Everton. This is quite winnable for Man United with Everton where they are right now. There's more uncertainty facing their manager than even Man United. We've had a question from Facebook Live. Mm. Facebook Live's great, by the way. We're really enjoying it.
We're getting paid for that.
We're not getting paid for that. If Facebook Live wants to sponsor this podcast, I don't think that's going to happen. Greg, we've been asked specifically what we think or what the pod thinks of United's forward line right now. Mm. How do you assess them, their quality?
I think Anthony Martial is electric. He's top class. He's got everything you really want. He's great on the ball. He takes the ball past people. He's dangerous. Just watch him play. He's fantastic. He's the real deal. And I think Rashford is as well, actually. His conversion rate at the moment is sky high. It's completely unsustainable.
We've had another question from the Facebook Live. This one's obviously for Dave. It is, would Daley Blind make a good inverted fullback? Dave, thoughts?
That is a good question. I think the concept of inverted fullback would be good for Daley Blind. Now, he likes to come into the central midfield and sort of dictate the play from centre half. But for me, I quite like him at centre-back. I'd like him. I probably would prefer him to play central midfield, maybe. You know, he's very good at playing the ball forward. He's really evolved that way. You know, I was very critical of how he played a lot of sideways passes when he was playing central midfield last season. Because he's been playing centre-back, he's got the game in front of him. I think he's going to evolve as a player. But the concept of an inverted fullback for me starting is going to die. I feel it's the wrong move. You know, Guardiola evolved his teams so much in the past, but this is a step too far. It closes the space when you're transitioning from when you're attacking to defence, it's very difficult to transition back because your players are so central. So breaking down the flanks, again, something that is how to counter a possession-based team because their fullbacks are so high, is breaking down the flanks with the fullbacks coming inside and vacate so much more space. So you're going to end up getting a 2v2 at the back with one of the attackers being in a wide area. So it's dangerous. But for me, Daley Blind, brilliant centre-back, brilliant central midfielder, but wouldn't fit under Mourinho, which is a sad thing to say because Daley Blind this season has been my player of the year.
You kind of already did almost play like a central inverted fullback, if that's a thing. Last
a
night.
Inverted
that's
fullback.
That's obviously not a thing.
That's not a thing.
It's not a thing. When we were saying like it was a 4-1-4-1 for United, it wasn't really. Like, when they had the ball, Smalling stayed back and Blind pushed right up to pretty much be alongside Schneiderlin for certain parts of the game. So he was almost playing as like a midfield defender at points last night. And he can do that. When you're against a team that doesn't really threaten him in the way that doesn't like to be threatened physically, although he does cope with that better now. Like he was good last night. He just got forward on the ball, opened up more space for United's runners to go forward. It was good.
So I think this thing this season with the relationship between Smalling and Blind, it's been good of how they've dealt with players. You know, if there's a physical forward, Chris Smalling will pick them up. Yesterday against Adebayor, he absolutely destroyed the guy. You know, physically, strength-wise. Basically, Adebayor didn't fancy it after dealing with Smalling, which is good. And then, you know, the relationship works the other way as well. You know, when you come up against Aguero...
Do they destroy each other?
So when you come up against someone like Aguero, Chris Smalling picks up an early booking, which last season he converted that to a red card, which was pretty silly. But this season, Daley Blind just completely marked Aguero out of the game from about 26 minutes on because they switched it up and it was a brilliant performance against Lukaku. Daley Blind was the player that was getting... didn't want it, but Lukaku was coming to him and he just read the play so well. Stood off him, went tight, then stood off him and read the game and intercepted the play or made a cracking block for one of the shots that Lukaku had inside the box. But I just love this relationship. It's really evolved.
Stobes, in terms of Daley Blind as a player, I mean, is he genuinely the class of player that, say, someone like Mourinho coming in is going to want to use in his squad? I mean, you know, the physical question is not going to go away with Blind, is it?
Well, yeah. One thing, Mourinho likes a versatile player, but he likes a runner as well. He likes the athletes. And you look at Daley Blind, like Dave was saying, classy player, reads the game so well. But when Mourinho's pushing him physically, I'm not sure he's going to like what he sees in Daley Blind. He's always wanted a team of athletes. You need to be able to sprint, you need to be able to run, you need to be strong. And I'm not sure he'll like Daley Blind at all if he comes in.
He's nothing like Carvalho was. And I think that's the kind of midfield.
He was the warrior defender,
yeah,
doesn't he?
He's a ball player, but he could also get stuck in and make things happen. I think with Blind, he's almost come to terms with his like physical frailties. He's become, you know, like a judo champion will take on a bigger opponent and use their weight against them. Mm-hmm. Blind almost does that now when he's up against someone like Lukaku. He'll actually get closer, chill up with the ball, and then scamper off. As in, like, got your balance.
Yeah.
You've got to make a decision now, buddy.
Yeah, learn that one. Yeah. So he's definitely not a Mourinho player. I don't even think he's really a Van Gaal plan A player. I think he would much rather have an actual centre-back who can play the ball. Like Holger Badstuber was at Bayern Munich. He was a big lad.
Yeah.
Van Gaal does like his big defenders.
Hummels would have been perfect for Van Gaal.
Yeah. Although he's also pretty damn slow as well.
Hummels is the dream for Man United, Dave.
But again, he's right-footed, though. And the whole thing with Blind, but left
the thing with Hummels is he's played his whole career on the left side.
It's true.
Left-sided centre-back. Mm. And that's the crazy thing with Van Gaal, obviously. He likes to have a right foot, a left foot in all the positions. You know, yesterday he had right foot and left foot in central midfield, but he likes to switch them around. So Mata was the right central midfielder, Rooney was the left one. But for me, it's crazy. Why can't you play two right footed centre backs? It's not like you have to do that. It's like kind of like a thing that potentially would have worked functionally when there wasn't players that were so gifted with both feet. But now we have that.
Mm.
Why bother?
Well, it's like last season when like everyone said, we've got to play Rojo because he's like the left footed guy. Our best run last season was with Jones and Smalling at the back, and they're both two right footed guys. Rocco, he might have been left-footed, but he was doing all the defensive errors last year. So it seems a bit kind of pedantic to me in terms of the footedness of his defenders.
Fair enough. That's a good point. I mean, you know, United have got, you know, things to deal with up and down the pitch. Very exciting young players, and we should give a quick mention to the under-21s who retained the under-21 Premier League title. Really impressive youth setup they've got there, and a good times for English teams actually around Europe with Chelsea winning the under-19s. United look really strong domestically. I mean, who can we expect from that under-21 side to kind of push through next year? I mean, obviously that is a concern under Mourinho, but who can we expect to kind of make the next Fosu-Mensah, the next Rashford? Who's coming up through there?
They're all kind of known quantities. A lot of the really big guys have already started in the first teams. You've got Cameron Borthwick-Jackson, Donald Love, Paddy McNair, Varela, Andreas Pereira, who hasn't made the kind of leaps that a lot of people expect him to this season. Mm. He was actually playing as a striker, and he's a playmaker. So these are all very versatile, kind of, you know, interesting footballers. I mean, I think we had 7 defenders on the pitch, but not many of them were actually playing in defence. So, I mean, if you want to talk about Van Gaal and this kind of total football approach, these are all footballers that can, you know, do more than just take people down and stick to their position. They can play multiple roles, and they can, you know, contribute over the pitch. Donald Love was playing as like a box-to-box general, scored an absolute screamer of a goal. Wouldn't expect that from a right-back from Scotland, would you?
No, you wouldn't.
Or a player called Donald Love.
Yeah, no. It
sounds like a porn star.
He sounds more like a golfer, I was thinking. Yeah. But is that the same thing? answers on a postcard. Dave, what do you think of this current under-21 crop?
Yeah, I think there's some good players in there. You know, Borthwick-Jackson, Fosu-Mensah who's made the step up. Pereira, Yanazai is still in there. Will Keane, who was very, very good before he unfortunately picked up that injury. Again, he's so injury, not prone, but I feel so sorry for him. When I remember him coming through the youth setup at Man United, he was such a good player. He was always one that I thought, oh, he's going to be the next big thing. Similar to like Giuseppe Rossi when he was there, or Lee Martin, who won the kids from the United setup.
Lee Martin.
Pulling out names.
Lee Martin was a player that could have got very far, potentially his attitude was wrong. Darren Fletcher was another one that was coming through at that time. But no, it's good to see. The question, though, players like Andres Pereira, you know, someone that starred at the Under-20s World Cup in the summer, last summer, why have they not been in the first team? And this is the big thing with Louis van Gaal. It seems certain players, or not even like... certain nationalities, maybe, that he doesn't get on with Brazilians. Again, Pereira's another Brazilian. Rafael, another Brazilian that he instantly throughout the club.
Do you think it's the footballing? There's a clash of footballing cultures there.
I think it's a big clash of personalities, that potentially the Brazilian maybe laid back style, where maybe training isn't where you turn it on, and in the games that's where you flip. That's where the script gets flipped, and you score goals, you get assists, you make tackles. You make all the big plays, but in training maybe you're a bit more lax and laid back, which wouldn't really work with Van Gaal.
But maybe Van Gaal's that's a bit of an old fashioned view, you might say. You look at players like Fernandinho. I mean, he's obviously someone that trains quite hard.
Pereira was born in Belgium as well. I don't think he's actually like, you know.
Maybe it's a Dutch Belgian.
I think it's just the style of the player. Pereira is a very calm player that goes through the game, and he's very good on the ball, technically very gifted. Scored a brilliant volley against Spurs to win the title, got the assist for set Love up for the shot. So he's a player that's got that calibre, and it's a shame that he hasn't transitioned to the first team as well. He should definitely have been there. Similar to Memphis Depay, what's happened to Memphis Depay, still a very talented player, but doesn't get a run of games. And quite frankly, whenever he plays, he usually struggles for the first 20, 25 minutes he's on the pitch. So I think he's a player that massively plays on confidence inside games, but as well as out. If you don't give him a run, he's not going to get in the team. His confidence needs to be up, and I feel that he's been massively mismanaged since joining Manchester United.
Stobes, in terms of these young players, a lot of them, you know, already excited prospects, already made first team appearances. Someone like Mourinho coming in, they'll be thinking, my chances are going to be limited here. Is there a feeling like that at the club? Or
I think it's a worry. Mourinho's camp have actually been briefing anyone who will listen just how many young players Mourinho has given debuts to and who he's brought through. But realistically, you look at Mourinho's squads and it's full of 30-year-olds who won trophies before, and he doesn't really trust youngsters. I remember I was covering Chelsea when Ruben Loftus-Cheek was coming through last year, and everyone was calling for Loftus-Cheek to get a start. He said, OK, I'll give him a start. And he gave him 45 minutes, hauled him off at half-time, and he said, that's why I didn't play him more often. And that's kind of how he does it. He doesn't really trust them. I think he knocks them down quite a lot, and it might work with a 30-year-old, but with a 19-year-old, you need to show them a lot of trust and a lot of faith, and he doesn't have the confidence in them.
So on the Squawker Talker, we've been on Facebook Live. It's time for hashtag Ask Squawker Talker. I've just come up with a name for the feature. We're going to take some of your United-related questions from Facebook Live. Dave, what have you got for us?
So we're moving on. I think we sort of answered one of the questions, which was, should Daley Blind move into midfield next season? So maybe we can elaborate that a bit more. Greg, what do you think? Do you think that's a good move for him? Or
I think
feel it's not quite right for Mourinho? Or
I think the way he's playing, he kind of, like I was saying earlier, he kind of blurs the lines between defence and midfield already. Yeah. I think he's a utility player ultimately in the squad. I don't think he's a starter anywhere if you actually got the players that United need to become the title-winning team they want to be.
Any other United questions?
So we've got another one from another fella, Tactics Times.
Tactics Times?
In-depth analysis.
Hello, Tactics Times. How you doing?
So would United improve if LVG returned to a more counter-attacking style like you used for Netherlands in the World Cup or the AZ Alkmaar days?
It's a great question. Really good question. Dave, why don't I pretend that I asked that question to you?
Well, Nick, that's quite interesting because I feel that would really help Manchester United. I feel that's why Mourinho will fit so well for this team, is because there's a lot of players with pace that can counter-attack. You know, look at Memphis Depay. A lot of his goals last season were getting long balls up to a striker that knock it down, he'd be clean through on goal. You know, counter-attacking goals. Anthony Martial destroyed Arsenal on the counter-attack for Monaco. He can just play in whatever system, whichever style you want to play. And again, space, pace works together. Jesse Lingard, again, space, pace. It's just a combination that could...
Space and pace.
And I feel like you've got players like Wayne Rooney that have played pretty much... they've played their best football playing on the counter-attack. You know, you'd think of the goals that were scored against Arsenal in the Champions League or you know, against Roma. They're all on the break. Wayne Rooney was a player that could transition that attack to defence so well, whether he was playing as a striker, whether he was playing on the left or the right. But I really miss Park Ji-sung because he was a player that could also instigate those counters so well, flipping the script there. And I just think that...
I think we all miss Park Ji-sung.
Mm. Yeah,
I think we all do. What a great footballer servant type person he was, Greg. Mm. What do you think about what Dave's saying about the Netherlands?
Yes.
But returning to a sort of counter-attacking system.
Would it mean we would have to finally sign Schneider, though? Because he was a big part of that Netherlands team.
It's been a rumour for so long.
He has. Or Gaetan, as we were talking about earlier. All those players that we get linked to every single year. Maybe just get them all in, see what happens. Maybe that's the key. I don't know.
Maybe that's what you should do. Do we have any other United-related questions to ask?
Let's have a look. So we've answered a few of them.
Okay, that's good.
So the other one we spoke about before was the United players deserve to be on the plane Eurostar. I don't think we were
on the plane on Eurostar. We've tackled that.
Yeah, but was that we recording when we did that?
That's a very good question.
I think we were off beat, off mark.
We were off beat. So United players that deserve to be on the plane to the Euros. Mm. Let's go position by position. David De Gea.
Yep.
Chris Smalling.
Phil Jones?
No. Lower. Yeah, this is a bit like that. Damian, Matteo Damian.
Well, yep. Conte likes him, so yeah.
Well, yeah, he does, yeah. But he won't start. He won't start, will he?
He's been playing a back three when he's in the 3-4-3.
Wouldn't he be playing Florenzi instead?
No. So if it's centre back position, so you need someone that's a bit bigger in that position. That's why I feel Damian could even play centre back for United next season. Quite good at, he's very physical, he gets tight to his opponent, would be good as a man marker.
This is the kind of logic that saw Brendan Rodgers play Glenn Johnson in a back three.
Glenn Johnson could never defend. He was an attacking fullback. They attacked very well in his career, whereas Damian is just, for me, he's a defensive fullback.
You'll have to convince me. I'm not sure, Dave.
It's sort of like how Aspilicueta, right foot player, plays on the left. That's how potentially Mourinho could use Damian. But I've forgotten what question you asked, Nick. I went on such a tangent.
Damian's going to the Euros.
Sorry, guys.
I think that's what we were saying, something about that. Juan Mata? Probably not, no.
The Spanish team is a bit in transition itself,
right? Del Bosque is quite conservative, though, so you might just stick with what he knows.
But he's been picking Santi Cazorla recently instead of Juan Mata.
Santi Cazorla can't walk at the moment, though.
Oh, he's back. He's back very soon.
Is he?
Yeah, he's back soon.
Sorry, Nick.
Back end of April.
He's going to be back for the last two games of the season.
So he's the Spanish Wilshire right now.
Perfect timing for an Arsenal team with nothing to play for. Any other
Man United?
So, yeah, there's Rooney.
Rooney show, obviously.
Just all the big players.
Martial will go.
Rashford won't.
Will Fellaini go with Belgium, do you reckon?
Yeah, he's a good plan B. Yeah. Defensive.
He's not used right at Manchester United, according to the Belgium coach, right?
Ooh, sorry.
Sorry, mate. Sorry, we haven't played him at number 10, number 6, and number 8, but he's not good at
Martial's going to be interesting at the Euros, isn't he? That could be very exciting.
That whole France team is
very exciting.
Especially now that Benzema's gone as well. That kind of opens up a lot of space for the young guys to come through.
Less of the focal point.
With Gignac and... Olivier Giroud, they've got two quite good options there. They're similar strikers, but fit the system very well. They've got a very quick, mobile midfield. Then the forward line is Martial, Payet.
Well, to be fair, if you whacked Martial into Arsenal's team, coming off Giroud,
Griezmann.
Just imagine if you had that. That would be very, very scary. Yeah, so if France have got that, that could be quite.
Martial's strength is his adaptability. Any other United-related questions?
I think we've answered them all.
We've answered them all.
The question about the Eurostar was from. Taught Jack Oliver, by the way, so big shout out to him.
Big shout out to Taught. Thanks very much.
Yeah, I think that's been it. And my laptop is about to die, so we might need to switch back to the method of on the phone.
Fantastic. Well, I think that's all the time we've got for actually on this United special. Sorry, it's been a little bit scatty with the dropouts and the Facebook Live, and also Stobes' phone is about to pass out. So all that remains to say is thanks very much to Dave, Stobes, and Greg. Thanks very much for joining me,
and
we'll see you very soon. Thanks a lot. Bye bye.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.